Welcome to Co-op Radio 102.7 FM CFRO. This is Monday Brown Bagger. My name is Reginald Angus Argue. Before I introduce our first guest, I just wanted to quickly point out to people that I recently saw a video on MSNBC News. There was a lawyer on there talking about the fact that, thanks to Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, the United States has a toxic debt load of additional $45.5 trillion. And at the same time, also, the lawyer continued on to say that since the early 80s, anyone who bought land or took out a mortgage, that they are now, they don't know who owns the property. So if you bought your land after that date, they don't know if you own the property or not. So it's just amazing with that. But with that said, I want to introduce our first guest. We've had him on in the past. He's coming back on to continue to inform us of very explosive information. He is a retired aero engineer, mineralogist, and he runs a nonprofit foundation. At the same time, he's going to inform us what's going on in regards to the CIA and the China connection and many other things. As I finish saying that, I want to introduce our guest, Stephen C. Davis. Okay, it looks like we're having a little bit of technical difficulty. So what we're going to do is we're going to throw in a quick CD, and then we'll come back with our guest.
And we are, as a people, inherently and historically, opposed to...
Welcome back to Co-op. Okay, it looks like we're having a little bit of difficulty again. Are you there, Steve? Okay, it looks like we're going to take a quick break. We're going to put on a CD. Shoving taxes
down. Bailing out banks we don't even owe, it's a ruination. They're invading our privacy.
Welcome back to Co-op Radio. It looks like we're able to correct our technical problems right now. We have Steve Davis on the air right now. Are you there, Steve?
I am. I hear you, but it's a sounding thing. I don't know if you're live with me.
Yeah, we can hear you, Steve.
Okay, good. Sure. And
the first thing I want to talk about is this Richard Jones Trust, which I realize that we've touched briefly, ever so briefly in the past, but you gave me some documents which talked about the Richard Jones Trust, and it also talked about a briefing that was given to General Schwarzkopf, and it also mentioned a name in there, the Vice President, Mike Brown, of the First Bank, also known aka the First National Bank, aka Zion First National Bank, which tied right in with the Mormon Church. But it talked about this $9,999,099.99 cashier's check that was cashed, and then they had to redeposit it because there was possible high treason for cashing this money because the Richard Jones Trust. I want you to quickly touch on that, a little bit about this, who founded the Richard Jones Trust, and, you know, what the Richard Jones Trust really is.
They basically knew that the funds were there, and they had to backtrack, and basically they found out that, there's someone who has power signature on the account that they thought they had taken out when they took out...
Steve, I'm going to quickly interrupt you there. It looks like we had a little bit of technical problems in the beginning. It looks like we got a better mic focus on you. I want you to quickly start over with the Richard Jones, what you're talking about, if you could.
Sure. The Richard Jones Trust was created back in 1960, and it was set up by President Dwight D. Eisenhower, and the power of signature went over to Ezra Taft Benson, who was Secretary of Agriculture back then, and he worked then jointly with Richard Jones as his banker. And basically in 1985, they activated the Jones Trust in a contract that was directly involved with me, with Merrill Lynch. So that was my direct involvement, because they used this Jones Trust to purchase all this bulk gold all over the world through my contract with Merrill Lynch, and they used this money in the CIA bank account to do all the banking transactions. And so the direct connection I have with General Schwarzkopf is that, amazingly, years later, he comes to the Brigham Young University and they give him an honorary doctorate degree. And there were a lot of protests because... a lot of people know how dishonest Schwarzkopf is with secret deals, especially going with China, which is, of course, the interesting subject that you and I are going to cover today.
Yeah, and it looks like already, Steve, we've already had acts of sabotage done against us because of, you know, the problems with the phone here. I don't think that was technical problems. I'd just like to say for a moment to the person that's doing the acts of sabotage against us, you're not going to stop the voice of the people. The voice of the people will be heard. We will have the right. We will have our day. If not in court, we'll have our day in public opinion, and you will be exposed as a true traitorous coward you truly are. Now, with that said there, Steve, I wanted to quickly, you know, with Richard Jones Trust, how did this also involve former Ambassador Leo Wanta and also your former attorney, Paul J. Young, at the same time?
Well, Paul Young was working at the White House in 1985, and that's when he was directly, as a returned Mormon missionary, he'd gone down to Nicaragua as a missionary, and amazingly, he had a phenomenal Spanish language ability, and he was chosen through his intelligence by the White House and his ability to learn how to communicate with the people all during the time of the Nicaraguan Contra, Iran-Contra affairs with Oliver North. And so with his ability and directly involved with this Jones Trust at the White House in 1985, basically I hired him as my personal attorney in 1998. And he corroborated all of the information that I had in my own personal archives and directions and activities. And he basically said, hey, Steve is telling the truth about his personal direct involvement with this Jones Trust. So basically they used me as a front, supposedly, in their attitude of having an activity. But the actual company that had the joint venture with us was out of Kentucky, and amazingly how Halliburton acquires that company after this transaction back in 1985.
So all of a sudden we're talking about Dick Cheney and the rest of the people. Before we continue on, I wanted to quickly point out, you passed me an email in the past, and you were also describing this Richard Jones Trust. The reason why it was set up was it put the National Forest, the Bureau of Land Management, the Indian tribal lands, etc., which was set up to pay off the national debt of the U.S. Now, with that said, you also talked about a Jones Trust, which was set up to buy 300,000 metric tons of gold by the Mormon Church. At any time, did anyone from that ran the Jones Trust in the Zion First National Bank, the First National Bank, or even the First Bank, whatever you want to call it, did they use any of the money from the Richard Jones Trust to buy their gold?
Well, yes. The thing that is that I had my great member of my board of directors of Canco Energy, Fred Haydock. Fred Haydock actually had the signed contract with Paul Smith over there in Kentucky that was acquired, the Kids Company was acquired by Halliburton after this. But like I was saying, I actually flew Fred Haydock over to Switzerland to do the transactions back in September of 1985, and I was down in the Cayman Islands doing the transaction for our portion of the signed contract with Merrill Lynch. Well, here to my amazement, years later, I found out from Fred Haydock that he went over there and spent several weeks, and he trustingly, or whatever you want to call, turned over his personal power of attorney to Zion's First National Bank in Salt Lake City. So here the Jones Trust was actively involving in the 1985-1986 purchase of over 300,000 metric ton of gold, bulk gold all over the world, being sent and controlled by the Mormon Church in Salt Lake City through the granite storage facilities where they hold their genealogy and all records up in the Salt Lake Canyons there. And amazingly, they were using our power of attorney, our contract, our stuff to transfer this to Salt Lake City, where we had under a signed contract with the Iron Mountain in New York, in the state of New York. So we had all the documents and basically got corroborated by Paul J. Young, who was at the White House in 85, but my attorney in 98. Hey, Steve Davis is telling the truth. He's got all this stuff because he was directly involved with Ezra Taft Benson and Richard Jones, who actually did the transactions through the New York Federal Reserve Bank there in New York City.
And also, I'd like to quickly point out that because they did that, that is an act, that is a treasonous act against the United States of America in the way that this money was meant for to pay off the U.S. debt and belong to the U.S. citizens only. The last time I checked, the Mormon and the Mormon Church is not the United States of America. And I would like to send a message out right now to the Zion First National Bank, First National Bank, a.k.a.
First Bank, whatever you want to call yourself, you are not the American people. You have committed an act of treason against the American people. Now I know why acts of sabotage have been carried out against me. Thank you so much for coming on and pointing that out, Steve. I want you to quickly talk about, briefly, what they did to set up your attorney, Paul Young, that stripped him of his license to practice law. He's now a legal aide. And right after you've done that, then we'll quickly jump over to the other stuff in regards to Ambassador Huntsman going over to China.
Sure. In 1999, when Paul Young was my official attorney, he wrote several letters to members of the board of directors of Zions First National Bank, namely Gordon B. Hinckley and his law firm of Curtin and McConkie. And these three letters I sent to you, in addition to several other letters that he sent elsewhere, especially to a federal judge and all, and he was pointing out to Zions Bank board member Hinckley and several people that, hey, please understand that Steve Davis has this contract. Steve Davis has negotiated this because of the trust that Ronald Reagan had with Steve Davis back in the 1970s. Ronald Reagan and I were on national radio for some time back during the United States bicentennial era, 1975 and 1976, and he got to trust me. And so here in 1985, President of the United States, Ronald Reagan sees that, oh my goodness, well, Steve Davis has this contract with Merrill Lynch. And so Paul Young, who worked at the White House in 1985, corroborated this to Gordon B. Hinckley and Curtin and McConkie in 1999. Well, after that, for the past 11 years, they basically caused everything they could to discredit Paul. And he ended up being in federal prison under tightest security, as you can imagine, for 3.5 years. And finally, he was allowed to give one more opportunity to appear before the federal judge, which was Federal Judge Dee Benson. And on June 30th of this year, he basically went to the judge and says, hey, I am sick and tired of you guys playing games with me. I demand the justice to come forward. He reprimanded the judge. He reprimanded the prosecutors, the U.S. attorneys there in Salt Lake City. And to his amazement, Judge Benson says, I never want to see you in this court again. Hit the gavel, and he left as a free man. Now, that was June 30th of this year. And so since that date, Paul and I have been working very closely together in bringing forth the true facts of this Richard Jones Trust. Because in actuality, Paul Young was the attorney for Johannes Heike and his wife, who was the widow of Richard Jones. And so that was how closely connected Paul Young was directed in this, and they had to discredit him. But amazingly, what comes up comes around, and he and I are standing up boldly and actually trying to help people understand that there's a long paper trail of this stuff, and we want to protect the people of the United States and the world in getting out of debt. And that was a specific reason, like you said, Reg, that this account was set up back in many, many years ago under Dwight D. Eisenhower to pay off the national debt.
Yeah, and what happens is, as you were talking, I have on my website, thanks to you, Steve, copies of documents that you forward over to me which show correspondence between your former attorney and Gordon B. Hinckley and other stuff. And I also have copies of that debriefing given to Schwarzkopf on my website. People can go look at it right now if they want. It's on www.reginaldangusargued.com, and it's under the bulk gold. That's all you have to do to go look at it. So you know for a fact that we are showing you actual documents. We're not basically pulling this out of the air. We are showing you the truth, people. It's time to wake up. It's time to stand up against these atrocities before it's too late. With that said, I want to quickly go on to what you sent me in regards to the Ambassador Huntsman when he went over to China, right? I noticed right off the bat you were talking about just a moment, please. You were talking about the late leader of the Mormon Church, Hinckley, and you were also talking about pharmaceutical drugs, and you're also talking about how CIA money was being hidden by them, MI6 money being hidden by them. Could you explain a little bit about that stuff?
Well, the direct connection that John Huntsman Jr., who is the ambassador to the country of China, representing the United States. John Huntsman Jr., of course, was the governor of Utah at the time, and he was really looking about running for president in 2012, but President Obama appointed him as the ambassador for China because of his close connection to Salt Lake City banking, because his grandfather was Mormon Apostle David B. Haight. Now, David B. Haight was the former mayor of Palo Alto, California. His wife is J. Willard Marriott of Marriott Hotels, his sister, And so here we have David B. Haight, mayor of Palo Alto, California, married to J. Willard Marriott's sister, and he gets on the board of directors of First Security Bank. In 1999, First Security Bank in Salt Lake was merging with Zions Bank Corporation. Basically, they would control 8 western states, including Washington. And I personally got involved, and my cousin Richard Dalgartson and Joseph Stump of my company basically created a federal antitrust federal lawsuit against them in the federal courts in Salt Lake City in 1999. And we exposed the connection of David B. Haight with John Huntsman Jr., Huntsman Chemical, and all this banking connections that we basically have been discussing several times on your radio station. And so what we basically are concerned in today's message with you guys is that it's ongoing right now. These people can be asked by the press. They can be asked by the public, can you address your connection to David B. Haight? Can you address your questions, how are you connected to the people in Salt Lake City? Are you representing the people in the United States government in China? Are you representing those specific parties there in Salt Lake City for secret deals with the Chinese government? Because we know that the world is clamoring for China to basically come into the same competitiveness as all other nations are.
And also, you're talking about that the defense minister of China stood up and outlined a plan on how they were going to take over Canada, United States, and Australia. And there's something you also mentioned in there that they're looking at wiping out up to 150 to 200 million Americans.
Well, the pathetic thing of this is the same minister in the country then recognizes the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints as being able to hold church meetings all throughout China. And why are they saying this about destroying America, Canada, and doing it through economics, through elimination and whatever, and simultaneously saying, oh, the Mormon Church can come and hold churches all throughout China?
Well, I want to quickly, divert a little bit. I want to go back to Nazi Germany. And when I've done my research in the past, I've noticed that there's the Catholic Church went through the Holocaust, the Lutheran Church, the Jehovah's Witness, the Jewish people, the Gypsies, and so on. But I have never come across anything that mentioned anywhere any member of the Latter-day Saints, a.k.a. Mormon Church, being sent to any concentration camp set up by the Germans or being killed off in one of the ovens. Could you comment a little bit about that, Steve?
Well, it's a fact that Ezra Taft Benson, he was directly involved in agriculture back in Washington, D.C. during World War II. And amazingly, after World War II, he is actually over in charge of the missions and the program over in Germany and basically in the repatriation of this. And so it's amazing when people claim, oh, we're using the Articles of Faith that we're going to obey the laws in Germany, we're going to obey the laws in other countries. And amazingly, the leaders are basically doing secret deals because they have these people, and the Mormons are good people. I mean, I'm an actual Mormon. I'm an actual good Mormon. I love the Mormon Church. But the people are blindly told to obey their leaders, and little do they know that there's secret deals like you just described, that they're basically trying to use the Mormons as fronts as they do secret deals. And this has got to stop, and thank goodness we have the radio programs like you do to actually do this.
Yeah, and also at the same time, back and during World War II, so in other words, members of the LDS Church were blindly following Adolf Hitler and his atrocities he's carrying out all over Europe?
Yeah, because one of the Articles of Faith says that wherever you're living, that you will obey the laws of that land. And so, amazingly, how they, as Nazi soldiers, and they were Mormons, they were basically upholding the laws of that land, blindly obeying their leaders. And we all have talked about the research about who really funded Adolf Hitler, if not the Rothschilds and the wonderful banks that are involved in Britain and America and everywhere else, including Canada. So it's amazing that, full disclosure, thanks to the internet, that we're finding out the truth.
And I also wanted to quickly, talk about how, shortly after President Obama got elected, in January, he sends Hillary Clinton over to China. And then he makes a deal with the Chinese basically stating that, okay, if you continue buying our treasury bills, then what will happen is that you can have power over eminent domain in the United States, and you can start repossessing certain houses. Before you comment there, Steve, right at the beginning of the show, when we were having all those problems, active sabotage, I call them, you know, I was talking briefly about a lawyer that was on MSNBC News. I want the listening audience now to remember the $45.5 trillion and the fact what the lawyer was saying, that prior to actually everything after the early 80s, that if you take out buy your house or if you take out a loan against your house to finance it for a mortgage, then, you know, there's no proof out there who actually owns the land. So with that in mind, just think that President Obama did this. So what's going to stop it from someone who bought their property and actually has it, they think they have it paid outright. Next thing you know, representatives of the Chinese government are stepping in and going up to people in the United States of America, in a sovereign nation, and knocking on their doors and going, oh, by the way, this now belongs to the people of China. What's your thoughts, Steve?
Well, we know that Chiang Kai-shek was a converted Christian. He was a Protestant, and here he is. Chiang Kai-shek is over the Russian, or the over the Chinese during World War II against the Japanese and Germany, and he as a Christian was trying to Christianize basically China. And what he did is became a very good friend to my father, who was over the cryptics, the code talkers, the Navajos, and basically supplied to my father, Clyde Davis, the information of the secret organization called Qi, C-H-I, in China, that were basically martial arts. They were the opium runners of the British government and all like that for many, many years before World War II. And so they had a Qi temple. It goes back to 400 A.D., and they have the same temple ceremonies as they do in the Mormon temples. And so here is a great combination now of the secret organizations that go through Mormon temple work that are connected right with a Qi temple, C-H-I temple there in China, and they have the same tokens and signs and all these secrets where they basically swear allegiance to this. And this is the big concern I have about these secret handshakes, because here you have Bill Clinton, you have Obama, you have Bush Jr. and Dick Cheney and all these doing these openly secret handshakes and basically telling the Mormons, hey, all these people are welcome to this because, hey, we're one big brotherhood organization. So this is why Hillary Clinton is over there trying to bring in the Chinese through the Mormon church, because of these temple ceremonies.
And also, I wanted to quickly talk about, you know, the Vatican Church and how money laundering was through that. How does this connect up to the Mormon Church? Because we only have a couple minutes left in our interview, Steve. I wanted to end it with that, basically, to tie that little string together at the same time. That way our listening audience can be really well informed today.
House of Holiness in Latin is in the Bible in the Old Testament. House of Holiness is what the Vatican used to declare that they, through Peter, is the Church of God. And in 1960, the Pope there in the Vatican gave that little plaque of Constantine to David O. McKay of the Mormon Church and said, we are conveying the authority to joint venture with you. Here we at the Vatican in Rome basically will joint venture with the Mormon Church in Salt Lake City because of what you guys are doing connected with this wonderful secret oath of secrecy. And so basically since 1960, the Catholic Church and the Mormon Church have been working financially with their bank, which is Bank of America. Bank of America was created in 1905, Bank of Italy in California. It became Bank of America in the 1920s, and they've been joint venturing since the 1960s with Zions First National Bank in Salt Lake City.
Well, the Bank of America was involved in the mortgage fraud, and the way that what happened was they were starting to send out people to foreclose on houses that didn't even have mortgages on them, that people owned it outright. And at the same time, I remember someone basically saying recently that there was something like they put a moratorium on it, and now they started back up, and there's something like 102,000 foreclosures that they're going to be doing. We had a past guest on by the name of Paulino with his last name. And what happened was he was talking about how by the end of 2011, there's going to be over 14 million foreclosures in the United States, over 60 million Americans homeless. You know, people were laughing at him at that time. And now what happens is I'm looking at the situation right now, and I'm beginning to think that those numbers, if we do not smarten up, we as the people do not start grabbing control of our natural resources and start standing up and let our voice be heard and try to regain what is ours, take it from the elitist and put it back in the hands of the people, that those numbers will become a reality, a really creepy reality. And what happens is you also got to remember that Canada exports 75% of what we make here is exported to the United States of America. And Steve, I'm just going to let you close with some last comments if you like. Your website, contact information, and whatever information you want to share, because I know there's an election coming up in the United States in the beginning of November.
Well, my voice to your public audience is to totally support their own heart. Basically, remember that they can make a difference, and my ability to come and talk to you and give you the answers that you've been so wonderful to ask me about and allow me to give you the actual facts and knowledge is totally free for anybody. They can surely reach me through you, Reg, and so I highly recommend your listening audience to definitely go to your website and your information or to whatever your radio station is, and you'll be very glad to give them how to contact me directly, and I'll be very glad to talk to anybody.
Well, thank you so much there, Steve. That was Stephen C. Davis, and thank you so much for coming on, Steve. This is Co-op Radio 102.7 FM, CFO.
Take care.